Welcome to the Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
So today, Advance the Kingdom Sunday, it is a significant day in the life of Pneuma. We all know the last month or so, we've been a bit here, there, things have been going on, and people are like, so where are we going as a church? So we're going to speak into that today. We're still going where God has always had us going. Jesus has been building the church for thousands of years. As you heard, our church in Pneuma is going to be 100 next year. Jesus has been building that for almost 100 years. So that's going to continue on. And our mission as Pneuma is to advance the kingdom across the nations. Mission is why we exist as a church. This is what we're here to do. This is what it's all about. It's not our mission. It's Jesus' mission. Let's not get confused. It's not the pastor's mission. It's Jesus' mission, all based on the Great Commission. And you think about advance the kingdom. Kingdom is his kingdom. Kingdom, it's about his rule and reign. So it's on our hearts to see his kingdom, his rule and reign just spread throughout the earth. And we can be here at Beau Morris and be like, oh, what about our church? Let's just be about our church. But how did this church come up? It's because someone had it on their heart, that God put on their heart for them to advance the kingdom, and said, let's just not be in Richmond, but let's go to Southland. And now here we are in Beau Morris. And now there's so many other locations and more to come. So it is on the heart of the Lord for us to be part of advancing the kingdom. We're not the answer. We're not the solution. But he invites us to partner with him in that. So last week, we introduced a new kingdom culture value. Do you remember what it was? These guys in the front are so loud. What about you guys at the back? His presence is our priority. And the question that we ask is, am I growing in awareness of his presence in my personal life? We talked about that last week. His presence is our priority. And the few things that I went through was that his presence is actually a person. His presence is a person. It is the person of the Holy Spirit. Thanks to Jesus, we carry the presence. We carry the Holy Spirit. So his presence is a person. His presence is our distinction. So we read Exodus 33, where Moses is just interceding, pleading with God that God's presence would go with them. And we see in that, Exodus 33, that was to be their distinction. What differentiates them? His presence that we carry is what makes us different. Can people see that Jesus is in our lives? Can people see that we have the Holy Spirit? Do we move in the power of the presence? His presence is our source. Everything we need is found in him. Everything we have is to be from him. We said his presence is everything that we need. Everything is to flow out of him. And then the last thing I mentioned last week was that his presence is to be our one thing. It is to be our one thing. We try and go for everything else, we end up with nothing, because it doesn't mean anything. But if we make him the one thing, then everything else falls into place. So his presence is our priority. See, there's many benefits, many manifestations, many results that come from having the presence of God in us. But actually today I want to share with you that the presence of God and humanity's mission are inseparable. The presence of God and humanity's mission are inseparable. Amen. Think about, why has God put man on this earth? Why did he put Adam and Eve? He said to them in Genesis, go forth and multiply. That was their mission. He wanted his presence to spread throughout the earth. He said that to them in Eden. That was the relational center of presence with the Lord. But they tried to do it in their own strength without his presence, and they messed up. And ever since then, God has been making ways for his people to have his presence, because he's always had a mission of being in relationship. And ever since they messed up, the mission has been to reconcile humanity to God. So the presence of God and humanity's mission are inseparable. We said it last week, John 15:5, apart from me, you can do nothing, Jesus says. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And we have the great commission to go forth and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe what Jesus commanded. And Jesus says, and behold, I'm with you always. He knew we couldn't do it without him. So the presence of God and humanity's mission are inseparable. When it comes to the church has a purpose. We are the light of the world. We are a house of prayer, a house of worship, a house of miracles. The church has a purpose. Amanda shared it. Luke 19:10. He came to seek and save the lost. But none of that can be done without his presence. So the purposes of the church are tied to the presence of God. Let's go to the word this morning, Matthew chapter 17. We're going to read from verse 1 up to verse 9, and then we're going to go 14 to 19. Matthew chapter 17, it will come up on the screen. And after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John, his brother. Jesus is taking the three. These were his best mates. He had 12 disciples, but he had three that he was really close with, that he spent more time with than the other ones, that he discipled so closely. Verse 1, it says, and he led them up a high mountain by themselves. Here they go up the mountain. And verse 2 says, and he was transfigured. Jesus was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. His face being transfigured, this is saying he was transformed in front of them. He changed. And it says, and behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Imagine that. On the top of a mountain, Moses just rocks up. Dude's like from more than 1,000 years ago. And Elijah, hundreds of years ago. Who else would you want to be at the top of the mountain than Jesus, Elijah, and Moses? Verse 4, and Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, he's probably trying to get his phone out to take some selfies and make a story so Matthew and the rest of the crew can see, man, we are with the people. But now they were very present. They just focused on what was happening. So he says, Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make three tents here, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah. He was still speaking when, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. When the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were terrified. That is fear of the Lord right there. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, rise and have no fear. And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. And as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus commanded them, tell no one the vision until the Son of Man is raised from the dead. Let's go to verse 14. And when they came to the crowd, they've gone down the mountain. And when they came to the crowd, a man came up to him, and kneeling before him said, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he has seizures and he suffers terribly. For often he falls into the fire and often into the water. And I brought him to your disciples and they could not heal him. And Jesus answered, oh, faithless and twisted generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? bring him here to me. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the boy was healed instantly. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, why would we not cast it out? I could keep going, but for today, I'll leave that for you to read at home. Today, what we're talking about is from the mountain to the nations. From the mountain to the nations. Verse 8 says that when Peter was on the ground, terrified, Jesus came to him and touched him. It says in verse 8. Let's read that again. And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. See, they encountered God's presence. They were in God's presence. And being in God's presence brought them to this place where no matter what had been going on, all they could now see was Jesus. They were just, it brought Jesus into focus. When we encounter God's presence, when we step out of whatever else we're doing and we just focus on him and we're aware of his presence, it actually brings Jesus into focus, into the place that he's already supposed to be in. Even in church, we can get busy serving. I can get busy just trying to get sermons going, catching up with people. There's so many things we can all get caught up in life, work, family, career. We can get so caught up in so many things and not actually get anywhere where we're actually seeing an impact being made for the kingdom of God, for why Jesus has actually given us his presence. But when we make it that one thing, his presence is our one thing, we prioritize it and we're anchored in his presence, we'll see the kingdom move forward. We'll see the kingdom expand. We'll see Jesus work through us, through other people, when we make him the one thing. Luke 10:42, we read it last week, where there was Mary and Martha. And Jesus says, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. We can get so caught up in doing this and doing that. But who's authored it? Who's asked you to do it? Is it just your thing or is it the master's thing? It's not that just church is the only thing. No, it's about being in his presence because we depend on him. And then he tells us what to do, where to go when we make him the one thing. He says one thing is necessary because these things will come and go. But he says, but my presence will not be taken away from you. Psalm 27 verse 4, David says, one thing, this one thing have I asked for, have I seeked after, to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. He says to gaze at your beauty, to gaze at his beauty. That word beauty is meaning his wonder, how marvelous he is, how good he is. David's saying that's the one thing I want to do, is to be in his presence. He says to inquire in his temple. See, when we're in his presence, whether you're by yourself, whether you're in church, we actually become, we abide in him and we become more like him. In his presence, we absorb the very life of God. See, when we spend time in his presence, we absorb the very life of God. Think about his motives. Think about his goals. I know those are words that you're not going to hear God talking about, goals, motives. But we're talking about his heart, his will. Those things actually become what becomes our heart. Because Galatians 2:20, what does it say? It says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer me. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. We have his presence in us. We get to be his dwelling place. We get to be in his presence corporately. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Christianity has been in decline over the years. Why has Christianity been in decline? It's because people have started to believe, and at different times we have believed it ourselves, that we exist for ourselves. We prioritize what we want, not what He wants. He's created us for relationship with Him and relationship with others. But people go, I don't need church. It's just me and God. Who are you thinking about? Yourself. You want God for yourself. But I'm preaching to the converted here, right? Because you're here. But there's that been that belief that we exist for ourselves. Are we living for our personal dreams? Or are we living for God's dreams? When we look at God, do we look at Him as one who is to serve us? Is He a God who is to serve us? Do things for us? Do what's going to make us better? Help us to achieve what we need to achieve? Or do we look at Him as our Father whom we belong to, whom we love, and whom we get to serve? According to the NCLS research, this is an organization that researches for churches, researches about churches. They say that less than 2% of Australian Christians have led someone to faith. Less than 2%. That challenges me. And I love how Amanda says we want to focus more on sharing Jesus confidently. Because we talk about it for a month. And I'll be honest, I'll be on fire, man. I'll be sharing testimonies about, I shared my faith with that person, I shared my faith with that. And then months go by and just the radar just comes down. Kind of forget. Focus on my own thing. But when we make His presence our priority, He will lead us to those places. He'll make us aware of whom we need to share the gospel with and give us a heart that just burns to see the gospel spread. So we see Peter in that text that we just read. He loves the presence of the Lord. Just think about someone you know who just loves to be in the presence. Let's not stop worship. Let's just keep the worship going. This is so good. Oh, let's not even go home. Let's stay in here. The presence is amazing. You know, that's great. But that's not why God's given us His presence, not just for that. Peter's like, let's make three tents for you, Moses, for you, Jesus, for Elijah. He's like, this is like the tabernacle. Let's make a place. Like, people are going to be going up the mountain for that? No, Jesus goes, no, let's go down. Let's go back. There's been an impartation. These three have seen Jesus in a new way. They've heard God say, this is my beloved Son. There's been an impartation to them. And now they can take the presence from the mountain down right into that situation where someone needs healing. We need to get out of the four walls and not just be presence junkies. Have you caught the fire? Have you caught the fire of His presence? Have you caught the fire of the Holy Spirit? Because if you have caught it, you know what fire's like? It's going to spread. It's going to catch on people. Are people catching the fire that you carry? And yes, it burns. It does burn. It's a consuming fire. It burns in such a way people are like, whoa, what's happening to you? They want some of that. See, the community of Christ, the church, is the only instrument that God uses to spread His presence to the world. It's the only instrument that God uses to spread His presence to the world. For as the waters covers the sea, the earth would be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. We get to experience His presence here, but we get to take it into our world and wherever God leads us. We get to partner with the vision of our church that it would go, the presence would go to cities and nations, that in our own city, in Beaumaris, in Brighton, in Sandringham, we just love we're here. people are just walking from all different places that are local because someone's invited them or they've seen the church. The presence is not just for us. We're to go from the mountain. So encounters with God are not just so that we become insular, but that we become missional. We become missional, not just insular. We are actually to inhale His presence. We inhale His presence and we get to exhale mission. So as we inhale His presence, we're like, this is the air I breathe. You know, it's living in us. But what comes out is mission. We see disciples made. We see people get saved. We see people get healed. Jesus is doing it. Not us. He's doing it through us because we have inhaled His presence. So we are to inhale His presence so we can excel mission. A true vision of God will always lead to the mission of God. If we're seeing God rightly, if we're seeing Jesus rightly, it should lead to the mission of God. See, with God, we look upward. In a way, we look upward to God, but we also look inward, because when you look to God, you actually get to see things about yourself. Go, wow, what am I, Lord? We look inward and He does a work in us. He makes us more like Jesus. But then we just don't look upward and inward. We then look outward. His presence in us makes a difference in the workplace, makes a difference in our communities. And what that does, that inward work, what the Holy Spirit does, those encounters lead to a boldness in our faith. Are you bold in your faith from the mountain to the nations? Are you bold in your faith? Encounters with His presence always lead to boldness in faith. And what happens when we have that boldness? We're able to do only what He can do. He does it in us and through us, but the things that God gets us involved in, gets you involved in, are things that only He can do. So encounters with His presence always lead to boldness of faith. Look at Moses. He had an encounter with a burning bush. He encountered God in a burning bush. But what came out of that? This is a guy that had killed an Egyptian and got found out and he fled. He left everything. He was so scared. He left everything, wasted a lot of his life, you could say. But then he has an encounter with God. And this boldness comes out that he steps up to Pharaoh. And it all leads to God delivering the Israelites out of slavery. You look at the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit comes down. The church is birthed. What does Peter do in boldness? He preaches the gospel. And 3,000 are added to the church. That can only be done because of His presence. So when we encounter His presence, when we're filled by His Holy Spirit, we're empowered. We are empowered to take part in the Great Commission. We're here to make disciples. See, we have God. You know God. But who are you discipling? Who is discipling you? We have been called, each of us, to be disciples, His disciples, but also to make disciples. That is the Great Commission. Jesus said, follow me and I will make you. How do we follow? We follow Him. We abide in Him and He abides in us and He makes us fishers of men. So we go fishing for people, for Him, for people to be saved. He makes it happen as He empowers us. So as Newman Church, we're called to disciple cities and nations. This is what we're called to as a church. And this is happening. Like we said, there's 12 locations at the moment in different cities in Australia and overseas, and we're seeing this happen. planting churches in 4 global apostolic hubs that carry a spirit of revival to disciple cities and nations. We couldn't do that, and we can't do that without Jesus. We're a church that loves his presence, but we're to go from the mountain, and I'm telling you, this room is a mountain. It is when it comes to the presence of God. My prayer is, Lord, would we experience your presence when we're in this room? But would we take it out with us wherever we go? And would others experience it and fall in love with you? And would your presence just keep doing what it needs to do in their lives? Would they find churches? Would they find relationship with you? And when we're out of here, we're still experiencing his presence. But when we come, we experience his presence again. But we go to and fro, being led by the Holy Spirit. So we're a church that is to go from the mountain to the nations. What does this mean for us at Pneuma as we collectively undertake to advance the kingdom in 2024? So we're going to share a few things with you now when it comes to the vision and the mission of the church on what 2024 looks like. And if you've been part of this church for any amount of years, you would know every year we share vision, we share vision items. We encourage everyone to prayerfully consider, pray to God for how you can contribute financially to the vision of this house that you've made your house. So what are the things that we're focusing on undertaking to advance the kingdom in 2024? Just get there, Pastor Steve, hurry up. So the first thing is to continue in planting churches. See, we don't get that excited about that because we're like, we're planted here already. But hey, you could be one of those people planting a church one day. You could be one of those people that is actually going to speak into someone's life and then they're going to realize, wow, I'm called to plant a church. And we all get to contribute to it. So we're going to continue to plant churches. Number 2, we're going to invest in ministries and initiatives which fuel and develop revival. Number 3, we're going to support existing Pneuma churches as well. We'll talk about that in a moment. And then we're also going to financially gift another kingdom work. That is not Pneuma. We're going to financially gift another kingdom work. So like I said, we will continue to plant churches that carry a spirit of revival to disciple cities and nations. Where is Pneuma going this year? You guys already heard all this, but this is the confirmation. So the first place that Pneuma is planting this year is Pneuma, Singapore. Pneuma, Singapore. I know a few people that have come here from Singapore. Wow. Singapore. Pneuma's going to Singapore. Singapore is the economic powerhouse of Asia. There's just under 6 million people in Singapore. 18.9% of the population are Christians, including Catholics. So that leaves a whole 81% that are not believers. So yes, their church is in Singapore, but they don't have a Pneuma church. There's nothing special about Pneuma Church, but there's room even in Beaumaris for so many. Everywhere you go for the gospel to move, it's the planting of churches. So Pneuma Singapore. Singapore will play a central role in planting future churches in Asia. There's a call on Pneuma to plant churches in Asia. And Pastor Alvin and Amy have started the work already for Pneuma Singapore. Pastor Alvin and Amy have been leading Pneuma Bangkok for a few years now. Before that, they were part of Pneuma East here in Melbourne. So they're going to be heading to plant Pneuma Singapore in the middle of this year. They've already got interest. They've already got life groups meeting. But in their place at Bangkok, there's Pastor Ben. So will be taking on the leadership of Pneuma Bangkok. So we're just going to look at a video to hear from these 3 pastors about Pneuma, Singapore, and Pneuma, Bangkok.
Church, this is Pastor Alvin. My family is so excited that we are planting Pneuma, Singapore in 2024. I believe that God has a significant plan for this tiny powerhouse nation in Asia. In fact, in the late 70s, a prophecy was released over Singapore that it would be the Antioch of Asia. I believe that God is sending us to Singapore to build Him a covenant family where His presence can rest on. And from there, we will fulfill our Antioch call to plant more churches across Asia. So I want to invite you to join us, to partner us in prayer as we advance the kingdom of God in the continent of Asia.
Hey family, this is Pastor Ben Su, and I'm the incoming location pastor for Numa Bangkok. And we're just so expectant for what the Lord is going to do. There's already revival happening, but we're believing for an explosion of salvations, of healing and miracles and signs and wonders. So be praying for us. There's more that the Lord wants to do in Thailand, and we will see Thailand safe.
That's right. We will see Thailand saved. Thank you, Jesus. So that's Numa Singapore and Numa Bangkok. That's exciting. And then Numa, we as Numa Church will also be planting in Orlando, Florida. See, in Orlando, there's over 2.6 million people. It's the third largest metropolitan area in Florida. Florida has approximately 300,000 Brazilians living there. One of the most visited cities in the world is Florida, or Orlando, actually. Florida. What? There's a desperate need for the gospel in Florida. And this is on the hearts of the people that are going to be planting there. And actually, we're going to be starting with reaching the Brazilian community. And this church is going to be led by Pastors Fabio and Lily Carlin. We got to meet these guys ourselves at our staff retreat at the start of the year. But they've been on a journey with Numa for quite a while now. But we're just going to get to hear from, these are real people. These are people that are on the journey with you and I. And we get to hear their voices and their heart for Numa Orlando. Fabio and Lily.
This is Fabio here.
And Lily, we are so glad to be part of the Numa family.
And we'd like to invite you to take a part of expanding God's kingdom on earth. Join us in the planting
Numa Orlando.
If you have a heart for America, it is your time to join us in the fulfillment of this calling for a disciple in the Brazilian and Latino community and American as well. Please be praying for Orlando.
Yeah, we're praying, Pastor Fabio. We are praying. They're good people. And they had a crazy journey in Jan to get to us. They had a crazy car accident, car flipped over. He lost his memory. All these things happened, but they still made it. They were still released. It was just like, man, God is on this thing, but the enemy doesn't want it to happen. But Numa is going to Orlando. He got his memory back, as you can see. one more location. What is it? Berwick? Hey, we can talk about that. Hey, we can go to Berwick. It's not that far. She comes every Sunday, so it's not that far. But we're going to be planting in Spain. In a city called Cadiz, south of Spain. Yeah, mission trips galore. Cadiz is the oldest inhabited city of Spain. It's actually in the 1040 window, which a 1040 window represents a rectangular area on the globe, which includes North Africa, the Middle East, and Asia, and southmost part of Europe. It's estimated that this 1040 window is nearly two-thirds of the world's population. And it includes 90% of the poorest people in the world. But it's home to the majority of the world's least evangelized and unreached people groups. These groups have limited or no access to Christian resources, churches, or missionaries. So there's a desperate need for the gospel. And the core of Spain is already reaching North Africa. So where these guys are in Cadiz, they're not far from North Africa and they're reaching out to Morocco, but they're in that 1040 window. And it's going to be a Numa church there. So already They've seen people saved in North Africa from doing mission, going there and back. So there's several families that have already come to Christ. There's already a core group of people where Numa, Spain is going to be planted this year. And this church is going to be planted by some good people we got to meet earlier this year for myself and Candace, but the other leadership team met them way before that. But we got Pastor Edgar and Maylin.
Hi, we are Edgar and Maylin, and we are living in the state of Cádiz in a little city called Jerez de la Frontera in Spain.
Yes, the Lord called us to plant a church that becomes an apostolic center that equips the saints to advance the kingdom in Spain. Would you partner with us in prayer as we continue making disciples?
Yeah. Whoa. So that is Spain, Singapore, and Orlando. Now, we are going to continue investing in ministries within NUMA and initiatives which fuel and develop revival. So we're talking NUMA School of the Spirit, our own Bible college, to provide exceptional theological training and equipping individuals to walk in the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. We had 3 students as part of South last year. We had a great year with them because there was, as part of that, they were serving here at South. And we saw so much transformation. They saw, you reckon they saw so much transformation, those students? Steph agrees. And now this year, we've got another 3. In Helen, Amber and Mel. So NUMA School of Spirit is, you know, right there in our hearts. But we're also, as a church, financially investing so we can effectively facilitate Revival Conference. Who loves Revival Conference? This year we're going to have Revival Conference on the 4th to the 6th of July. And the guests are going to be Haley Braun and Ben Fitzgerald. So that's what's happening with Revival Conference, 4th to the 6th. And it's only going to be 1 conference this year. If you've got any questions about that, come talk to us later on. There is so much happening this year. Only God can do it. But I love that He invites us to partner with Him. We've also actually got Pastor Steve Cawthon here with us today. He is the hub leader. He's the hub leader for Australia. So in Australia, how many locations do we have, Pastor Steve? 9 locations. So Pastor Candice and I, we need a pastor. So he's our pastor. He looks after us. And he looks after all the Australian pastors. So he's just here today, just hanging out with us, just pastoring us. But actually, we're going to continue to support existing NUMA churches so they can continue to impact and disciple cities and nations. So we're talking about continuing to support NUMA San Francisco, which is very dear to our hearts, because the old NUMA South, where we are right now, the old pastors, Don and Hannah, they went to plant NUMA San Francisco. So as NUMA Global, we're continuing to support them. We're continuing to support Tony and Joe Moore, NUMA Adelaide North. They planted last year. We're hearing great stories. We had a testimony for weeks up there from Pastor Tony. And also we're continuing to support Sunshine Coast with Pastors Kevin and Dariel Furlong. Why do we continue to support these locations? They're family. They're family. It's not just about us. They're family. We need to see them get to a point as churches of being sustainable, stable, continuing to grow so that they can minister in their region and in their cities. So that's why we continue to support them. That's how we've got to where we are today. So the last part of the things that we're going to be focusing on this year is that we will gift 10% of the Advance the Kingdom offering. 10% of the offering will go to another kingdom work outside NUMA. So starting today, everyone's got a card on their chair where we get to fill out, where we get to make a pledge of financially how much are we praying into, how much has God put on your heart. to contribute to the vision of NUMA for 2024. But whatever the total amount's going to end up being, 10% of that is actually going to go to a ministry or a church or a group of ministries outside NUMA. So it's not just about us. This is about the kingdom. And why are we doing that? Simply because we love the kingdom of God. So when you think about all these things, planting churches, supporting existing ministries within our church, supporting other locations within our church, gifting the 10%, and all the things that God has us doing. And when you look at those main things I've mentioned, the scoping of those costs is estimated around $1.4 million. So we're going to now give everyone an opportunity to just take some time to pray into filling out one of those cards. Does everyone have a card? I'm going to give you an opportunity and a pen. Look at that card. Take your time with it. A bit later on, we're actually going to pass down some buckets for you to drop those cards in. So with those cards, you actually, in the past, we've been able to put in your bank card details, but we're not doing that anymore just for security reasons, just in case your card drops and who knows, picks it up. So you won't be able to fill that out in terms of your bank details. But there's options to give online using PushPay. There's a QR code on there. But no matter which way you're giving, you can even give through cash by putting cash into the bucket. No matter how you give, we want you to fill it out on the card, because it's going to help us as a church to know how much people have prayerfully considered to give to the vision. So fill out the card. You can do it via PushPay. If you're wanting to actually use your card here today, you can go to our info hub. Can you see the info hub to my left there where it says Our Kingdom Culture Values? You can go there. Prem and one of our team will be there and will be able to get you to complete that. But we're just going to take a moment. I'm just going to pray. And then we'll get to do business with the Lord. Heavenly Father, we just thank you. That you love your church, you love the bride. Lord, we have not come here for any man or any woman or any organization. But we have come because, Jesus, you have led us here. Lord, we thank you for this church. We thank you for the decades of this church. Lord, we thank you that church planting has always been on the heart of this church, that 150-plus churches over the last 99 years have been planted out of Richmond Temple, out of Richmond AOG, out of Bridge Church, out of NUMA. Lord, we thank you that you are not done. That, Lord, you're wanting to see hell emptied. You wanted to see people pulled out of hell that are already going to hell because someone has shared the gospel with them, because a church has come into the neighborhood, because someone has walked into the church, because, Jesus, you have touched them. So, Lord, we thank you that all that we have is from you. All that we have is yours. And, Lord, we thank you that you loved so much that you did not spare your own son. And that, Lord, you say that if he did not spare his own son, why would he hold anything back? Lord, help us to have your heart. Lord, help us to not give or commit by compulsion, but Lord, to actually seek your heart. And to give because we love, to give because we get to give because we trust you. Even in a time where things have been in our limited eyes shaky in our house, that, Lord, you are firm. That, Lord, you are still moving. So, Lord, I just pray that you would speak to hearts right now. and that there would be faith in the room. So Lord, would faith rise, and Lord, would we look back and say, remember 2024, where we were excited for the start of the year, but then we went, whoa, but then you went, I am here, and you showed up, Lord, in a way that we never expected. So Father, we pray for Numa globally that 1.4 million would not even be a thing. Because you, God, you are in charge. You are in control. Lord, forgive us for thinking that if we don't give, it's going to make an impact. A negative impact. But actually, Lord, that we would know that as we get to give, we're saying we're part of this house. We're saying you've led us here. And Lord, we trust you. So Father, do a work in our hearts. We commit these cards to you, Lord. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that he, Jesus, demonstrated his love for us, that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.